What's triggered the latest tension between Greece and Turkey? Ankara says deploying military to an Aegean Sea island breaches an agreement. Athens argues it's protecting its people. So can this tension be contained, or could it spiral out of control? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Hazem Seeker. Greece and Turkey have been in conflict over maritime borders and energy exploration rights for decades. In the latest escalation, Ankara has accused Athens of deploying U.S. armored vehicles on two Aegean islands close to Turkey's coast. Turkish security sources released these aerial images purportedly showing ships loaded with the vehicles docking on the islands of Lesbos and Samos. Turkey summoned the Greek ambassador and filed a protest with the U.S. over the action. Greece has called the move, quote, completely unfounded, and accused Turkey of aggressive behavior. The two nations are NATO allies, but historic foes, and continue to accuse each other of undermining regional peace and stability.
While we are making sincere efforts to end wars, crises, and tensions in the world, we follow the political actions of our neighbor Greece, which stink of provocation. As I have always said, Greece is not our interlocutor, nor can it be, politically, militarily, or economically. We are well aware that the real intentions of those who provoked and unleashed Greek politicians against us are to hinder our program of building up a great and powerful Turkey.
We have a difference regarding the delimitation of maritime zones. There are ways to resolve these differences. You could even resort to an international court if you agree on the conditions to reach such a settlement. But you don't resolve your differences through aggressive posturing and through, you know, recalling sort of imperial fantasies and using a rhetoric that is inflammatory.
Well, let's take a closer look at these islands. Last year, Turkey disputed Greece's sovereignty over the East Aegean islands. It says they were meant to stay strictly demilitarized. Greece took control of them from the Ottoman Empire during the Balkan Wars from 1912 to 1913. 10 years later, Athens was officially awarded sovereignty in the Treaty of Lausanne. Another treaty drawn up earlier, though, in London in 1914, has made Greek possession of the islands conditional on them being demilitarized. But Turkey says since the Lausanne Treaty makes reference to the 1914 treaty, it implies the same conditions remain valid. But Greece rejects that interpretation. All right, let's bring in our guest now. In Istanbul, we have Mehmet Çelik, editorial coordinator at Daily Sabah, Daily English language newspaper in Turkey. In Athens, George Tsagopoulos, senior research fellow at the Hellenic Foundation for European and Foreign Policy. And joining us from Brussels, Peter Klepp, editor of BrusselsReport.eu. Good to have you all with us. So, George Tsagopoulos, let me start with you then. Turkey is arguing that these military buildups on the island are in violation of their agreed non-military status under the international treaties. Do they have a point there?
Well, in the last weeks, Greece is under constant threat by Turkey with the usage of military force, with the argument that the island should not be militarized. But Greece believes that due to the current situation, it is in threat, it is under threat by Turkey. And therefore, it is its right to militarize the island in line with the relevant UN charter. This is the situation, and the real problem starts from the threats coming from the other side and also from the history that demonstrates that Turkey is prepared to use military force in order to obtain political gains, as the invasion of Cyprus highlights.
All right, let's put that point then to Mehmet Çelik in Istanbul. What's your perspective on this? Greece is saying that it needs to defend these islands, many of which lie close to Turkey's coast, against a potential attack from Turkey.
Actually, if you look at the recent provocation by Greece against Turkey, we can see that, you know, if you know, with the radar blocking, using the S-300s, with firing, Greek Coast Guard firing against a commercial vessel, with militarizing the non-military status islands, we can see that these provocations are unfortunately actually coming and arising and emerging from the other side of the Aegean and Athens. Now, Turkey has been the side that has been pushing forward for dialogue, for you know, be it through diplomatic negotiations or in the Aegean and between Turkey and Greece, or when it comes to the Cyprus issue. Turkey has been pushing forward for equitable share of resources in the Eastern Mediterranean. Turkey has been arguing for a dialogue and diplomacy, but you know, we can see one, and on the one side, leaders, Greek leaders like Mitsotakis, for example, says Turkey, they want neighborly relations. But on the other side, we see on the same days that Greek is militarizing or sending deployment to the non-military status islands. So there's a hypocritical situation. Of course, there has been, you know, historical tensions between these two countries. If we can, if we are going to keep talking about the history, there's not, you know, Turkey and Greece, they cannot get anywhere. However, Turkey has been pushing forward for dialogue, for negotiations, for putting our differences and agreeing on some of the disagreements and moving forward, you know, in finding some sort of common ground to solve and overcome some of this, some of these issues. However, one, you know, Greek side can change between, you know, it can, its position changes a day and night. And it's very unpredictable and at times hypocritical. So it becomes a problem for Turkey and its leadership to deal with Greek officials. So they see that as these being provocations and not a willingness to actually find a solution for the existing, be it historical tensions or be it current disagreements and tensions between the two sides.
Peter Klepp, why are these islands in particular such a flashpoint for both Greece and Turkey?
Well, these islands are very close to the coasts of Turkey. And yeah, because of this reason, Turkey is concerned. Turkey claims that the Lausanne Treaty does not allow Greece to have these military vehicles, these American military vehicles to be... to be posted there. As we could hear, Greece is claiming that it is under threat from Turkey and therefore it is justified to do so. What is remarkable is that just recently the president of Turkey, Mr. Erdogan, did not just complain about militarization of the islands, but of quote-unquote occupation of the islands. And this has really raised great concerns in Greece and of course also outside of Greece, because these are, you know, two NATO partners, and this is not exactly the best moment to have tensions between Greece and Turkey, I think, as everybody realizes.
George Tsagopoulos, the Turkish government has said that this is this decision is partly political by Greece to get these more of these military vehicles into the islands. There's a Greek election coming up next summer. How much of this is for domestic consumption?
Well, this is not a political decision. It is a security decision. There are diachronic problems in Greek-Turkish relations, but in the last years, Turkey's public rhetoric has been very, very aggressive vis-à-vis Greece, an issue which not only recognized by myself or the Greek government or Greek politicians, but by Washington and also by Brussels. So the European Union has been very critical of Turkey's moves, gestures, statements and public rhetoric towards Greece, against Cyprus, in the Eastern Mediterranean in general. What is right now the situation is that the relationship between Turkey and the United States has entered uncharted waters. It is crystal clear in Washington that Turkey is not necessarily considered a reliable partner. And within this context, Greece is emerging as a very reliable partner of the United States. So this new situation is creating new dynamics in the Eastern Mediterranean and also within NATO. And also in the aftermath of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, the United States is closely working with reliable partners. So this is fueling the aggressive rhetoric from the other side. And we remain hopeful in the European Union, just within NATO, that the situation could be placed under control. Because like this, if Turkey continues like this, obviously the cohesion of NATO's southeastern flank will be jeopardized, news that will be welcomed in Moscow.
Yeah, Mehmet Çelik, how is this affecting relations with the United States then, considering that they are, both of these countries are NATO allies as well?
Well, of course, if we look at the current stage of Turkey-U.S. relations, we can say that it is not on a very solid ground at the moment. However, both sides continue to mention each other and they term each other as allies, sometimes strategic allies, sometimes partners. Now, there's always that historical alliance between Turkey and United States for several good reasons. However, if we look at the previous speaker mentioned about Moscow and the EU and all the Ukraine relations or Ukraine developments, if we look at Turkey's value for the West, I think grain deal is a very good example for that. If we look at the mediation between Ukraine and Russia and its value for the Ukrainians and also for the West, I think prisoner exchange is a very good deal, very good example of that. Another one would be the efforts by Turkey that has been, at work to bring the two leaders together at a negotiation table. Otherwise, the war is not, unfortunately, is not getting anywhere where we would want it to end or find a solution for it. When it comes to, the U.S.-Turkey, back to U.S.-Turkey relations, U.S., very recently said that they want the two partners to NATO members to diplomatically overcome these tensions. However, Turkish side has always been pushing forward this diplomacy, this negotiation table, this finding a common ground for dialogue. However, at one day we see Greece saying, okay, the next day, unfortunately, Greece goes and complains to the EU or goes in the United States and talks against Turkey. For example, Mr. Mitsotakis did the same thing when it comes to the F-16
issue. This is the Greek prime minister.
However, we should recognize the reality that these two neighbors actually, once they overcome these issues, I think without the interference of the third parties, like France selling weaponry or defense mechanism to Greece, or the United States bringing its military deployment to the Greece, I think the solution would be easier. However, the unreliability of the Greek side, the other third parties using Greece, in a way to actually contain Turkey in the region, one pushes Turkey away from the West. It alienates Turkey from the West. It otherizes Turkey from the West, and this is not in interest of the West. I think that the Turkey's values in the region should be realized, and the grain deal is a great example of that, how it stopped the global food crisis, for example. I think we should realize and we should value these moves by Turkey to find diplomatic solutions.
Peter Klepp, is this dispute more about access to the waters around the islands and the potential natural resources there, rather than the islands themselves?
Well, I mean, there's that. There's the military importance of these islands. If ever there would be a conflict, of course, this helps Greece to have islands so close to Turkey's mainland. To comment on what the Turkish speakers said, it's true that Turkey and Erdogan deserve some credit for their mediation in the conflict to secure the grain deal. And Erdogan has been saying that it's very important to respect the territorial integrity of Ukraine, specifically referring to Crimea. But then on the other hand, it's weird that he sort of this like he describes the Greek status of these islands as a situation of occupation. You know, that's not sensible. I think it's pouring oil to the flames, and perhaps some of it can be explained by the fact that Erdogan himself has an election next year. You know, it's not sure he's going to win. The opposition is coming on very strong. The opposition is much more secular, but you know, when it comes to foreign policy, Erdogan and the opposition often agree. So you know, if he can come across as strong on foreign policy, you know, this is in his interest to sort of convince some non-convinced voters.
George Tsagopoulos, what do you think is at stake here for Athens, particularly with the potential for natural resources around those islands?
Well, the possibility for dialogue is currently very, very limited. And obviously, it's not the unreliability of Greece which is leading to this outcome, as our prime minister has repeatedly said that Greece is prepared for a dialogue. But when one country is under constant threat by the other with the use of military force, you can very well understand that the conditions for our dialogue are not ideal. At the same time, Greece recognizes only the delimitation of maritime zones as the only legal difference between the two sides, while Turkey's agenda is much broader. So under the current circumstances, I find it impossible for the two sides to talk about the issue of delimitation and also reach a solution. By contrast, and taking into account the general behavior of Turkey into account, it should be mentioned that there are other countries which are proceeding towards delimitation agreements in line with international law and the law of the sea, the convention that Turkey has not signed. A recent example is the deal between Italy and Croatia, Italy and Greece, Greece and Egypt, and other agreements that are highlighting that there are several partners in the Eastern Mediterranean that want to proceed together. And also there is the East Med Gas Forum, a regional organization, which is including several countries and partners in the region, Greece, Israel, Cyprus, Jordan, Italy, France. Turkey is not part of it. And the reason that Turkey is not part of the East Med Gas Forum is obviously that the behavior of Turkey is not accepted by the majority. So I believe that this is a clear indication that most countries in the Eastern Mediterranean, let aside the United European Union, the United States, are not very happy with the behavior of Turkey. Turkey is welcome to join if it respects international law, if it respects the rule of the majority.
Mehmet, Turkey has said that it has no, the Turkish government has said that it has no intention of invading these islands, and you know, we take that at face value. But is it more about the fact that because of the natural resources that there can be around these islands for finding natural gas and so on, Turkey doesn't want to be left out of that part of the equation?
And very rightly so, because Turkey is, you know, Turkey has as obviously close to these waters, and including the Turkish Cyprus, which Turkey supports in that sense. Turkey is rightly asking for its interests, and it cannot be this maritime delimitation cannot be, for very good international law reasons, it cannot be the way Greek side is translating them. So that's, you know, that's there. But on the other hand, we were talking about the Turkish elections and how this will serve on the Erdogan's hand, or whether it's actually in his favor. Turkish-Greek relations have been tense for a long time. However, if we look at the recent provocations, they have been mostly, actually almost all of them, they have been coming from the Greek side. And this doesn't help to establish dialogue. I mentioned them earlier. I listed several provocations by the Greek side. And this also, of course, regardless of who is the governing Turkey, there is a sense of rally around the leader when it comes to Turkey-Greek relations.
All right.
Regardless of the opposition or who is governing, when it comes to the state policy, Turkish government seeks to maximize their interests. And this is very natural for either side of the equation.
Let's put that to George then, that Turkey sees Greece as the provocateur in all of this. What do you say to that?
Well, this is the rhetoric of the Turkish government. It is well known, but at the same time, it is very well rejected in the European Union, in the United States, but also during talks of the East Med Gas Forum. It is clear that Greece is defending itself, and obviously the constant threats from the other side are not helping the situation. So I believe that, especially in the aftermath of the invasion of Ukraine, there is a sensitivity in the West about revisionist tendencies, ambitions, and philosophies. And Greece is working towards this direction with its partners, including the European Union and the United States. And as far as the European Union is concerned, these are the rules of the family of the European Union. Turkey is not a member of the European Union. And for the time being, it seems impossible for it to enter. If it changes its behavior, then there could be chances. And obviously, ahead of the meeting, the important European political community meeting that will take place in Prague after 10 days, perhaps there will be an opportunity for our leaders, Prime Minister Mitsotakis and President Tayyip Erdogan, to meet. This will be good news. But if this public rhetoric continues from the other side, obviously, I cannot be optimistic about any breakthrough, even a meeting between the two leaders.
All right, let's give what's probably going to be the last word to Mehmet. I mean, how do you see this playing out? Okay, I know you want to respond to what George has said there, but I want to ask you as well, do you see the potential for this to calm down eventually, or could it really get out of hand?
I think it can calm down. Turkey respects territorial integrity of all members of the international community, and they have at numerous times they have mentioned that, and particularly with regards to Greece, they have made that clear and firm that Turkey respects their territorial integrity. However, this harsh rhetoric that the previous speaker is talking about comes as a result of the provocations. It doesn't actually emerge out of nowhere. It comes after the harassment of Turkish jets on NATO duty. It comes after the firing of Turkish, the commercial vessel. It comes after, pushing away all these refugees in the Aegean to death. It comes after several provocations. The rhetoric, of course, escalates, and it serves President Erdogan's hand, and this is a natural outcome. However, if we're talking about a threat, it's a constructed threat, whereas the provocations are actually tangible and they take place.
George, how do you see this playing out then? This is, as we said, the latest in a long list of disputes between Greece and Turkey. Does this have the potential to get worse?
Yes, it has the potential of getting worse, and history is playing an important role in that regard. So if we are looking at the evolution of Greek-Turkish relations and the relations between Turkey and Cyprus, from a historical lens, from a historical prism, then we cannot be optimistic. And what is even more frustrating and disappointing is that the fact that there is no contact at the highest level right now. And we can obviously understand that from the moment leaders don't talk to each other, then there is a possibility for an incident in the Aegean or in the Eastern Mediterranean. But for sure, if this happens with the responsibility of the other side, Greece will defend itself. This is clear. This is Greece's policy, and this is Greece's policy supported by both Brussels and Washington.
All right, we've got to leave it there. Thanks very much to you gentlemen, George Tsagopoulos in Athens and Mehmet Çelik in Istanbul. And our thanks as well to Peter Klepp in Brussels, who was with us earlier. And thank you as well for watching. Remember, you can see this program again anytime. Just go to our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle there is @AJInsideStory. For me, Hazem Sika, and the whole team here, bye for now.